Phrasing, taught by Sherry Summers. This lesson was recorded specifically for students of the American Accent course. Any reproduction of this audio in any form is strictly prohibited without the permission of AccentOnSpeaking.com.
Hi, and welcome to this lesson on phrasing, or in other words, how we group words together so our listener can understand us better, and so we can sometimes have a chance to catch our breaths. I'm sure you do the same thing in your own language if you really think about it, but when we speak, we tend to pause occasionally. Notice how many times I've done it so far in just these last few seconds. I sometimes stop. I pause. I make a little break in the sentence. If you are writing and you see a comma, you know that when you speak, you're automatically going to hear that pause. But we also pause a lot of other places too. How do you know when you should break sentences up into small groups? How do you know when you should pause? Well, the thing is, there are no real set rules. A lot of it just comes by what feels right, what feels good. But basically, we like to break words into groups that have some kind of similarity, that have meaning together. We like to break them into, for example, prepositional phrases. And if you're not sure what that means, it means that a phrase that begins with a preposition and generally ends with a noun. For example, in the big blue boat. In the big blue boat. It starts with the preposition in and ends with the noun boat. That's a prepositional phrase. Now, we don't always pause after a prepositional phrase, but it's a good place to do it if you want to do that. Sometimes we pause after an article plus adjective or adjectives plus a noun that has one kind of thought group, one meaning in our minds. We can see one picture in our minds. Sometimes we pause after short clauses, especially things like relative clauses. And what I mean by that is the woman who is over there is a clause. And we can pause just before that and just after that. That seems very natural. But generally, we don't pause after groups of words that have no content words. For example, I wouldn't say, I'm going to the store. To the? Would you stop after that? I'm going to the store. The only time I might do that is if I'm really trying to think, where am I going to the? Oh, what is that? What is that? Generally, I wouldn't pause after structure words alone. I'd need some kind of content word in there. In other words, I really need to have a tonal group in order to make a phrase. I need to have at least one word, it could be more, but at least one word that is a content word. Now, if this doesn't make sense yet, don't worry. We'll start breaking down some sentences, and you'll be able to see some different possibilities. So if you'll take a look at your handout, let's examine the first sentence that we have. What if I said, I'm going to tell my boss that I need a raise? It's a possibility, isn't it? I could definitely do that. That's okay. It seems really rushed, though. It seems a little strong. Maybe it's because my emotion is really strong. This is a pretty touchy topic. I'm going to tell my boss that I need a raise. That's possible. But there are many ways that we could slow this down to help the listener understand, slow this down so we feel more comfortable, and slow it down so it doesn't sound quite so aggressive. And there are several different ways we can do this. If we want to be very slow and careful, or maybe because the listener doesn't understand well, and this is sometimes what ESL teachers do when they approach new students, beginning English students, they break things down into very small pieces. So when we look at the same sentence, we could break it down into, I'm going, because going is a content word. To tell is another content word. My boss is another content word. That I need, that's a little clause in there. And need is the content word. A raise, we've got an article plus a noun, but there's a content word, a raise. So you may possibly hear somebody say, I'm going to tell my boss that I need a raise. Notice how many breaks I've made in that sentence? It's quite a lot. I don't usually talk like that, but it's possible. Now, one thing I do want to point out is the inflection of the voice. Listen again and see if you can tell where my voice is going. Is it going up? Is it going down? What's it doing? I'm going to tell my boss that I need a raise. Do you notice how my voice goes up and then it drops down a little? I'm going to tell my boss that I need a raise. I'm going up, I go down. I go up, I go down. When we put things in groups, that's how we handle it. The voice drops down a little, and then there's a very, very slight pause, and then it continues on again. So we've really broken this sentence up. Let's put it into a little bit bigger thought groups. I could put those first two thought groups together and say, I'm going to tell, there's a new thought group. Notice going still has a little stress, but tell has even more because that's where the voice is going up and dropping down. I'm going to tell my boss that I need a raise, that I need a raise. So now I've just made three thought groups. That's possible too. Try this with me. I'm going to tell my boss that I need a raise. Okay, that's definitely a possibility. But it's still a little bit too broken for most speakers. Most people would say, I'm going to tell my boss that I need a raise. Two nice solid thought groups. I'm going to tell my boss that I need a raise. And notice the end of both of those thought groups grow up just slightly more and drop back down again. Okay, try it one more time. I'm going to tell my boss that I need a raise. And notice I don't stop for too long, just a split second. I'm going to tell my boss that I need a raise. I'm going to tell my boss that I need a raise. So what are you going to do today? I'm going to tell my boss that I need a raise. Wow, great. In the next sentence, it's kind of easy to see where we're going to break because we've got a comma written right in there. So when you see the comma, most of the time, in fact, almost always, you'll make a little pause when you say the sentence. So we could say, if I were you, pause, I would see a doctor. We could actually break this down even more if we wanted to. If we really wanted to break this into thought groups, what could we do? If I were you, I would see a doctor. Okay, the content word see makes a tonal group. Doctor is another tonal group. I would see a doctor. I could definitely pause there if I wanted to. If I were you, I would see a doctor. Okay, speed it up just a little. If I were you, I would see a doctor. Okay, three phrases, three thought groups. But I probably wouldn't speak like that either. I'd actually probably put this into two thought groups. For example, if I were you, I would see a doctor. I would see a doctor. It goes up and it goes down. So two thought groups here. But again, it kind of depends on you. It depends on who your listener is as well. How about the next one? What would you do? Think about it for a minute. Where would you put the pause? I would probably say, where in the world are you going? Hear the little pause after the word world. Where in the world are you going? It's possible to say, where in the world are you going? With three, after where and world, and then of course at the end. And it's also possible to say, where in the world are you going? Again, it sounds a little more aggressive, doesn't it? And maybe that's what I want to do. Maybe I want to sound aggressive. Where in the world are you going? So we could put this into three groups. Where in the world are you going? Two thought groups. Where in the world are you going? Or one thought group. Where in the world are you going? Okay, in the next sentence, you'll see something that maybe the teacher would say. If I really wanted to break this down, I could say, open your books and turn to page 5. Open, pause, your books, pause, and turn, pause, to page 5. That's quite a lot. Let's put it into some bigger thought groups. How about, open your books, pause, and turn, pause, to page 5. Well, that's possible. What if I said, open your books and turn to page 5? Now, that's very common. I would say that. Where did you hear the pause? After the word books. Open your books and turn to page 5. Hear that slight little break in there? Open your books, 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 and turn to page 5. 5 up and then down again. Open your books and turn to page 5. It's what a teacher would say. That's what I've said forever. Open your books and turn to page 5. All right, good. Take a look at the next one. See if you can hear where I put it. Tell me where you put the keys. Tell me where you put the keys. Do you hear that after put? And then again after keys? It's possible to pause after me. I could say, tell me, tell me. But since I'm angry, I might not pause right there. Tell me where you put the keys. Tell me where you put the keys. Very slight little pause in there. Tell me where you put the keys. Tell me where you put the keys. Of course, I could make it into just one thought group. Hey, tell me where you put the keys. Notice how it's a little more aggressive, though. How about the next one? Could I say I was... pause? No, I couldn't do that. Why couldn't I do that? Was is not the main verb here, is it? Wondering is the main verb. Was is just helping the word wondering. So we couldn't say I was wondering. The only time you might say that is if you're trying to remember what you're trying to say. Otherwise, you wouldn't do that. I was wondering where all the people had gone. Okay, so I could put a pause after wondering, after all, after the people, and after the word gone. Of course, that's the end. So one more time. I was wondering where all the people had gone. Okay, let's put it into fewer thought groups. I was wondering where all the people had gone. I was wondering where all the people had gone. And notice because I sped up, I made that had into ud. That's why we're doing it. We're shortening it because we're speeding through that. When I broke it into pieces, I pronounced it a lot more clearly. When I broke it into pieces, I said, had gone. I used a nice H there. But now that we've blended it together with people right before that, I can speed it up and I can get rid of that H. I was wondering where all the people had gone. I was wondering where all the people had gone. I was wondering where all the people had gone. Notice how many different ways I can put this into thought groups. Again, it's kind of up to you. You're the one who decides how to break it down. How about the next sentence? What do you think you would do? Where would you break this sentence? Now, you'll notice the end of the sentence we have with my homework. Remember what that is? That's a prepositional phrase, with my homework. Now, this is a yes-no question. That means that homework will go up. Homework doesn't matter. It still rises. It rises more than usual. But where are we going to break this? Would you break this after the word help? or the word me? What do you think? Can you help me with my homework? That doesn't work, does it? Can you help me with my homework? Ooh, that's good. Now we've got that content word help, but the next word fits very well together with this. We don't put it into the next group, and it can't stand alone. It's got to go with the first group. Can you help me with my homework? Can you help me pause with my homework? Can you help me with my homework? Okay, in our next sentence, we see the man in the store told me to talk to the other clerk. Wow, that's a lot. The man, pause, in the store, pause, told me, pause, to talk, pause, to the other clerk. Well, that's a little bit too many. Let's put a few together. How about this? The man in the store told me to talk to the other clerk. How does that feel? Listen to it together. The man in the store told me to talk to the other clerk. Getting better, isn't it? We could even divide it into just two thought groups. The man in the store told me to talk to the other clerk. And that would work too. So you see, we have many, many different ways that we could divide things. It depends on your feeling. It depends on what you're saying. And it really depends on your listener too. The man in the store told me to talk to the other clerk. Our next sentence, don't be confused here. Please is an important word. We're going to pause. Could you please ask the server to bring some extra napkins? Okay, that's possible. Could you please ask the server to bring some extra napkins? But that's a lot of pausing. Let's put them together a little bit. Could you please ask the server to bring some extra napkins? That's possible too. Could you please ask the server to bring some extra napkins? Okay, we've got three. Now let's put it into just two thought groups. What would happen if we did that? I think let's divide it after server. That seems very logical because that's right in the middle of the sentence. Could you please ask the server to bring some extra napkins? Okay, did you hear that? Could you please ask the server to bring some extra napkins? I had a little pause after the word server. Could you please ask the server to bring some extra napkins? All right, and our next sentence. She didn't think it was appropriate to turn the gift away. She didn't think it was appropriate to turn the gift away. Okay, I could possibly pause in several places. I could pause after the word think. I could pause after the word appropriate. I could pause after the word turn. And I could pause at the very end. I probably wouldn't leave that word away all by itself. So if we do it like this, we say, she didn't think it was appropriate to turn the gift away. And notice, turn away is a phrasal verb. That away has some importance there because it's part of a phrasal verb. So that's a lot of pausing, though. She didn't think it was appropriate to turn the gift away. Okay, let's put some of those together. She didn't think it was appropriate to turn the gift away. Now that seems a little better. Both are correct, but this one's more comfortable. Again, she didn't think it was appropriate to turn the gift away. So we've got two thought groups there, divided between the word appropriate and to. Okay, next we've got, some people think that it's okay to throw trash onto the street, but I don't like it. Where could we pause? Think for a minute all the possible places we could pause. Could we pause after some? No. Could we pause after people? Yes. Could we pause after think? Yes. Could we pause after that? Not usually. It's usually part of a clause here. Could we pause after its? No. How about okay? Yes, because that it's okay is a short clause. Could we pause after two? No. Strange. How about throw? Possibly. It's possible, not too likely, but that's a content word. We could probably pause there. Trash. Yes, definitely. Onto? No, not usually. The? No, not usually. Street? Yes, for two reasons. First, street is the end of a prepositional phrase. Onto the street. And second, there's a comma. But? Depends on the speaker. If he's thinking, he might pause. Otherwise, he would continue on. I? No. Don't? No. Like? Yes, except in this case, we wouldn't do it because that leaves us with just a pronoun at the very end. I wouldn't say, but I don't like it. Too strange. So in this case, we wouldn't do it. So we have all these possible places to pause. Where do you think is comfortable? Again, this is a little bit up to you. I could say some people, or I could say some people think. They would both work. That it's okay, that's great. But I could also say that it's okay to throw, maybe. That it's okay to throw trash, that's pretty good right there. Onto the street, good. We could also say some people think that it's okay to throw trash onto the street, but I don't like it. Let's speed it up a little more. Some people think that it's okay to throw trash onto the street, but I don't like it. So again, that's kind of up to you. But whatever you do, please don't say, some people think that it's okay to throw trash onto the street and I don't like it. It's too fast. You can't do that. That doesn't sound natural. All right, and finally we look at the sentence. When we got done watching the movie, we went to a nice little restaurant in the middle of the Green District. Okay, we have several possibilities of where we could pause. We could say, when we got done watching the movie, or we could say, when we got done watching the movie. It's a little bit too much, though. I would prefer to say, when we got done watching the movie, comma, we went, that's okay, but better, we went to a nice little restaurant in the middle. Or better, in the middle of the Green District. So, a very nice feeling sentence would be, when we got done watching the movie, we went to a nice little restaurant in the middle of the Green District. We've got three phrases there. When we got done watching the movie, pause. We went to a nice little restaurant, pause, in the middle of the Green District. Notice how they feel good. They fit together. All of these phrases fit together very well. I'd like to read you an excerpt from a children's book called Little House on the Prairie. Probably a lot of American children grew up knowing this story. And when I was young, it was also a TV series. So if you have the book Little House on the Prairie, you might be able to find this. But I'm going to read you this excerpt. And I'd like for you to use a pencil or pen and go through the text and see where you can determine a pause. Where do you hear the sound of my voice going up and then dropping? Where do you hear that short break? And where do you think the thought groups are? How do they work together? So listen to this excerpt from the story of Little House on the Prairie when the father, who's called Pa, is making a rocking chair. First, he made four stout legs and braced them firmly with cross pieces. Then he cut thin strips of the tough willow skin just under the bark. He wove these strips back and forth under and over till they made a seat for the chair. He split a long, straight sapling down the middle. He pegged one end of half of it to the side of the chair and curved it up and over and down, and pegged the other end to the other side of the chair. That made a high, curved back to the chair. He braced it firmly, and then he wove the thin willow strips across and up and down, under and over each other, till they filled in the chair back. With the other half of the split sapling, Pa made arms for the chair. He curved them from the front of the seat to the chair back, and he filled them in with woven strips. Last of all, he split a larger willow which had grown in a curve. He turned the chair upside down, and he pegged the curved pieces to its legs to make the rockers. And the chair was done. Then they made a celebration. Listen to this excerpt a couple of times. See if you can pick out where the pauses are. After you figure out where they are, go back and try it out for yourself. Now, I have to say, you may find some pauses that fit you better. Make sure that they work grammatically, though. You don't want to just leave off in some strange place. Make sure they work grammatically. Go back and practice them several times. Go over and over this excerpt until you feel very comfortable with it. Of course, if you have a child, go ahead and read to your child. But remember, first examine what's going on. Listen to the people around you. Start putting it into your own language. So this is a very good first start. I also recommend that you listen to some people on TV. This is a good chance to go to, especially a newscast. Listen to some of the newscasters. They pause quite a bit. In fact, they've been trained to know where to pause well so people can catch up to the information. It's very interesting to watch them and listen to them. See if you can catch how many times they pause. And think to yourself, why did he pause there? Is it because he ran out of air? Or is this a logical thought group? And in most cases, it's because it was a logical thought group. I also encourage you to get some other books. And as I've said before, children's books are very good because they're a lot more simple. You can practice pronunciation and phrasing and the pausing and the breaking and the tones a lot easier with easy sentences than you can with hard ones because you're just practicing. So work on this for a while until you feel very good about it. And I'll talk to you in our next lesson. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.